Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. We have a lot of territory to cover, and I want to make good use of our time and not be wasteful in words or in application. Thank you, ladies, so much. You know, as you listen to the words, "I surrender all," you realize that if He's our Lord, then He is our all. And I think many of us would give testimony. We know how easy it is to be sidetracked, how easy it is to go through life calling Lord and yet never have given Him our life and our all. You know, God has given us so much, hasn't He? By His grace, we have, through faith, trusted Him, His sacrifice for our sins. By the abundance of His grace, He gives us life, He gives us talent, He gives us opportunity. He gives us more than we can imagine. We waste so much. In fact, everything that we have is because of God's abundant grace. Let's take our Bibles, as you have them, let's stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to invite you to read with me down through verse 7. This is a passage of Scripture. It deals with giving. It's a classic missions chapter, and one that we will refer to a few times in the morning message. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1, reading through verse 7. Let's begin to read at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." An incredible passage of Scripture. Churches of Macedonia were going through times of trouble, times of trial, times that there would have been the opportunity and probably the desire on the part of some to woe is me. But instead, their vision and their hearts was beyond Macedonia. They had a heart for what God was doing in the lives of others, and for the needs that were there, and how they could minister to those needs. If you would look, as we, right before we let you sit down, look at verse 7 again. Paul writes, "Therefore, as ye abound, ye excel in everything." Now think about this testimony. You are excelling in your faith. You are excelling in your utterance, and in your knowledge, and in your zeal, that is, in your diligence, in your love to us. "See that you abound in this grace also." What grace? The grace of giving. What an incredible testimony that a church would be known not only for its faith and its utterance and its knowledge and its diligence and its love, but would also be known for its giving. I would pray that that would be a renewed passion in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for the reality that as we look at missions and the responsibility that we bear as a church, that it is not one that is the philosophy of man, but it is in reality the very proof of God's Word. And Lord, I know that there are many of us this morning. We could give a testimony of not only your abundant grace and salvation, but Lord, also with the joy that it is to give of our time, to give of our talents, to give of our abilities, to give of our means, to give of ourselves. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do a good work this morning. Give clarity where this preacher might stumble with words. Lord, that there would be the work that the Holy Spirit could do in stirring our lives, we pray. All this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The men have a lot of slides that we're going to be going through this morning. I won't even tell you how many because it would scare you to death. But the theme of our conference, as you've seen on the walls and now as you see on this PowerPoint, is labor together. The conference begins Sunday, next Sunday, and it will conclude on Wednesday. However, the conclusion of what we're going to do regarding missions and the Great Commission is something that will follow. We're privileged to have this year, and I limited it on purpose, three missionary units or representation of three missionary families. The Greenwoods, today they are out west. I think they're maybe in Arizona, but they will be with us next week. They've been in and out, traveling, visiting their churches. But we represent 20% of their support. And so it's a joy to have them home. Amy is came to us really as a teenager, just graduated from high school, and became a part of our life, part of our ministry. Went to Clearwater, I think, a couple of years, then transferred, graduated, met James Greenwood. They both had the calling on their life of missions, and they have spent the last 10-plus years pursuing that calling. God has blessed their ministry. Not only have they seen a church planted in Pilar, many of you, several of you, went down there. You helped build the building. You fellowshiped with the people. And so what they have done in Pilar, Argentina, is part of what we've invested in. I wish all of you could go to Argentina and visit those people there. They truly do have a love for the Lord, love for the Greenwoods. The second we're going to have with us is Dr. Ann Livingston. You know the devastation that recently happened in Haiti, and she is our missionary doctor surgeon in Haiti. I think her compound was not really hurt badly by the storm that came through there, but she will be with us. The kids of the school are taking up special offerings to send back with her. I know there's some others that have medical access to medical supplies, and we'll be contacting her as she arrives to see what part we can have in sending to Haiti the supplies that are needed there. And then the third will be the reasons. I think about 34 of you were in Nova Scotia, Canada this past year, and I've heard the wonderful stories, the work that was done, and what a privilege it is to have Jeff and Jane that will be with us for the conference. And as you can tell, I purpose to really bring back two of those that you had labored beside. It is our anticipation of going back to Nova Scotia this year. Not sure if he's going to be able to get the lodge built or not, but we're sending a construction team that at least will be there to start some remodeling that he has. But we're looking forward. And Jeff was my roommate in college. We won't swap stories, but I will say this. I have watched him labor and Jane labor faithfully in Nova Scotia for years. How many years is it, Jeff? 30? 32 years. And I was so excited, and I think it was back in January, February, that God opened the door to add, almost 100 acres to the campsite. So he has, in this last year, has seen God bless, moving from really a small camp to now 100-plus acres that's going to be added. And I'm excited to see how God will bless us and bless him. Notice, if you would, in your bulletin, but on the slide here, in-home fellowships. You say, now what is that? That's having a missionary for dinner, in the sense that they're coming to dinner and you can have time to fellowship with them. We started this probably about 4 years ago, and it has grown into a time that our church families have looked forward to. We've tried to cover the four areas that you live in. Hillsdale drives from all over, and there are sign-up sheets in the lobby, and I invite you, these families that host the dinner or the snack, whatever it is that they're having, they go out of their way to be a wonderful host and hostess. So it is a very casual, a very informal time. It's a time the missionaries are able to share their testimony, relax, and you're able to fellowship with them. Let me just name off the four corners in North Tampa, the Land O'Lakes area. The reasons will be with the Knacks. In West Tampa, James Greenwood will be at the Keller's house. Central Tampa area, Carrollwood area, Dr. Ann Livingston will be at the Lansing's home. And then way over in the east side will be Amy Greenwood at the Dargolt's home. So we've covered as much of the area of Tampa as we can to make it convenient. You can sign up in the lobby. They would really appreciate knowing you're coming to eat, okay? And so that's the purpose of that. If you have to counsel, you can counsel later, but at least let them plan to that end. Let me share with you a little bit about money, because that is a lot of what we focus on in the conference. Not so much the money, but the means that we'll talk about this morning. We've set a goal of $135,000. That's our minimum goal, to really aspire to doing all that we would like to do. We have a commitment to missionaries of over $108,000. I hope and pray that God's going to call out of Hillsdale another generation of missionaries. And so I'm looking ahead, trying to plan for that when that time should come. We support 37 missionary units. We'll talk about that this morning. A unit could be a single person, it could be a couple, or it could be a family. So 37 units that are a part of our missionary giving here at Hillsdale. And so $135,000, let me break down why that is an amount that we need. And you can go to the next slide if you would. Our goal is this next year to send 35 out of Hillsdale to the mission field. That will focus mostly on the adults, college young people, but also some of the older teenagers that might want to go to Nova Scotia as well. I think next year our focus will be Peru, but for this year at least it will be a return to Nova Scotia. Hillsdale set probably 20 years ago of giving 33% or up to $300 towards our church family members going to the mission field in a missionary endeavor that we authorize and that we embrace. It's been money well spent, because God has called out of that group people that have ended up being missionaries and people that have ended up serving. And so it's a small investment in what may be a future missionary calling in someone's life. And we are planning that there will be a 12-member team that will be a construction team that will go to Nova Scotia, if not building the lodge, remodeling a cabin throughout. And I heard you might even want to hit that A-frame that you have there. So we'll see how that works there. The barbers will go to make sure that the team that is working also has a great meal. Hopefully Jane will not work nearly as hard this time and let the barbers kind of run things. We'll see. Construction materials. We try to take money to the fields when we go, and the missionaries appreciate that. A lot of teams go to the mission field and then they expect the missionary to come up with the finances. We try to take the money as we go to the field. And so our goal will be to take $7,000 that will purchase the construction materials that would be used there. And then Pastor Jarrett would like to send a 20-member teen, adult team, that will be a part of opening up Forest Glen Camp. And so a lot of work to be done. Camp closes down for the winter, has a couple of retreats throughout, but when it comes time, they have to open it up, clean it out, and get it ready to go. Now, with all that said, I told you I'm going to rush through things, and we are going to do that. Let me go to one more slide. Oh, that's it. Here it is. So $15,472 is what we are hoping to raise above what our mission support is. In addition, I'm always kind of laughed at in deacons' meeting. I always have these wish lists, you know, the aspiration of what the pastor would really like to see. We don't have that gym yet, but it's still in my dream. Hopefully it won't be my nightmare. But we do have an aspiration, a longing for missions. I believe that God is going to call out of Hillsdale in the next 2 to 4 years another generation of missionaries. I'm praying about them specifically, but I won't name them or embarrass them this morning. But my heart is set on that because I believe that a church that is going to be a New Testament church is a missions-hearted church. And so a couple of things with this 15,000. The Fitzgeralds are building a church in the jungle. They believe they have a team coming with 75% of the finances to build the first phase of that church. Between now and December 31st, they've actually had someone offer to match them dollar for dollar. So if Hillsdale were to give $5,000 of this $15,000 to the Fitzgeralds, the other individual would meet us with $5,000. So they are hoping by the end of December to purchase their property down there. For those that went to Argentina, it's about the same size property that you worked on down there and building that building. In fact, he would love to build that same building. We'll see how that works. And then finally, to fund new missionary prospects on your outline. And again, if you're visiting this morning and this is the first time, this is not a typical service. So you're really in the midst of a business meeting, and we're glad that you're here. Tonight I'll go back to Psalms and I'll preach. So if you want that, come back tonight. But for our church family, we need to come together and we need to meet about what we're doing and why we're doing it. I want to propose to you 3 questions. The first question is this: why have a missions conference? And why should it be a priority? Number 2, why emphasize mission fields and supporting missionaries? Sad but true, across America, churches are no longer supporting missions. They are so self-focused. And Calvinism is overwhelming churches. No longer that whosoever will. It's almost like, well, we'll let God take care of the unsaved. I believe, and I know in the Scriptures it teaches, that the church is to be a gospel-preaching church, not only in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Thirdly, why challenge the church to give beyond tithes and offerings for the cause of missions and missions endeavors around the world? And my answer to that is, 1, it's scriptural. 2, it's spiritual. And then thirdly, the Bible does teach systematic giving. Let me walk you through this, if you have your outline. The Great Commission is the central mission of the church. Now, with that said, I'm throwing a large umbrella. There are many, many things that could go underneath that umbrella. But the reality is that if we're going to be a New Testament church, our passion will be for the Great Commission. The story is told of a wealthy man that wanted to give a painting to a church. And so he commissioned an artist to paint a painting. And he asked that artist to paint a painting of a church that was a dying church. Well, that wealthy benefactor thought that the artist would come back one day with a painting of a dilapidated church that was just the building eroding and decaying and falling apart. But when the artist came back with the picture of a dying church, the building itself that was on the painting was actually a beautiful building. And the wealthy benefactor got a little bit beside himself and said, I thought I told you to make a painting of a dying church. And he said, well, I did. He says, look closer. And as he did so, there was a missionary offering box. Cobwebs were covering that box. It was obvious that no one had deposited any financial gifts for missions in years. the artist said, a church that doesn't give to missions is a dying church. Giving enables us to send those whom God has called. On your outline, let's go a little bit further. Missions Conference. It's really this is a philosophy now, so you put your philosophy head on. Missions Conference is the annual business meeting of the church. Somebody would say, well, preacher, I thought we just had a business meeting. We had a business meeting that dealt with the budget. But this is at the heart of why we are a church and why we share a missions vision. When we come together next Sunday, it is about the business of the Great Commission. It is my prayer, it has continued to be my prayer, that God will call out of our church young couples, young people, who will have a passion on their life and their heart for vocational ministry, whether it's to serve as pastors or to serve as teachers or to serve as missionaries. That would be the longing of our church family, that we would see God do that work in us. And I praise the Lord that Hillsdale has been not only a supporting church, but we've been a sending church. 20 years ago, a missionary who had come home discouraged by the name of Tom Morgan. How many of you remember Tom? He came home, a man that had served in Italy and was never able to go back to Italy because he could not raise the funds to have his support level where it needed to be to go back to Italy. And so for a season he was at home searching where should he go next. And finally he decided upon Australia. He and his wife went to Australia. And they labored there for many years. But he came home very discouraged. Conflict with missionaries on the field. Feeling forgotten. And when he arrived here in Tampa, we were the sending church. My wife and I took him to lunch. There was a restaurant called Atlanta Bread Company. I don't know if there are any around anymore. And he and I sat down. He did not know before he got home that I had sat down with the deacons and said, listen, you know, we have a need on staff right now for somebody to be an assistant. And this man's coming back. He's coming back with a lot of experience, a lot of maturity, but he's also coming back a hurting man. And I said, I'd like to offer him an opportunity to work with us for a year or 2 years as God would lead, and then get back up on his feet again. And you know, that year or 2 years was not only a time of healing for him, and he did end up in ministry again, but for me and for Hillsdale, it was a time of education. I will never forget the challenges that he gave. Of the difficulty of missionaries getting to the field and then staying on the field. Let me walk you through a little bit of it. On deputation, the average missionary will go 3 to 5 years. I think you're missing a slide, aren't you? Could you move ahead one there? All right, here you go. Trials and hardships, getting to and staying on the field. Enduring 3 to 5 years of deputation. At the last board meeting I was attended last week, there was a young couple that actually has visited here that decided to no longer try to go to the mission field. They had been on the road for 5 years, and they were still at 55% support. And the board has a policy that I agree with. 5 years is enough. If God hasn't opened the door and given the means, then you need to really step back and reevaluate. That couple had done that. But 5 years, could you imagine 5 years of living out of your car, of living out of your van? 5 years of traveling tens of thousands of miles trying to get to the mission field. What a tragedy. Now, I praise the Lord, our giving 20% for our missionaries when we send them out has meant the world of difference for them. I think the Greenwoods got to the field and the Fitzgeralds in 18 months to 2 years. So they whittled that time way down, but only because we were willing to give. Let me give you financial challenges. Here's another. Raising monthly support, outfit, and passage. It's not unusual to sit with a missionary couple. They're raising between $40,000 and maybe as much as $70,000 to move their family to the mission field. Housing on the field, vehicle purchase and replacement funds, emergency funds for medical needs, evacuation in times of war, inflation. All of those things are part of living on a foreign mission field. Add to all of that, learning a foreign language and being able to assimilate into a culture. Dealing with slow church growth and disappointments. All the problems that a church in America has, they will invariably have on the mission field. Or even worse, conflicts among missionaries who are jealous or disagreeing over philosophy. I've heard some of the craziest things of conflicts with missionaries. In fact, I've interceded on two, and I won't share it with you this morning, that was just bizarre how they would even be, here are mature people fighting over foolish things. 20 years ago, or actually 10 years ago now, Tom Morgan got up, the missionary, and he gave a challenge on homegrown missionaries. Any of you remember that? Do you remember he brought a bag of red tomatoes? I don't know if he was growing tomatoes or not. And Tom, being somewhat of a country boy, he started taking those tomatoes out of that bag. And he says, you know, there's something to be said for homegrown tomatoes. He said, they've ripened on the vine. They are ready for picking. And they taste oh so sweet. Believe it or not, growing up, my favorite sandwich was a tomato sandwich. Did any of you do that growing up? Some of our kids are like, are you kidding me? Let me tell you. Slap some mayonnaise, right? Put some tomatoes, thick slice, a little bit of salt, a whole lot of pepper. Let me tell you, that's high living, you know? That's a Southern boy feast. He brought out those tomatoes, and he challenged us, the sweetest investment you will ever make for the cause of missions will be sending your own kids. We had to accept some challenges. At that time, traditionally, Hillsdale was like many churches across America. The goal was supporting as many missionaries as you could. And so the support levels would be about $50. Maybe at the most it would be $100. But we accepted a different philosophy. And so we started 20% for being the sending church. In other words, if our kids, someone is part of our ministry, and they want to go to the mission field and we're confident in them, we'll take on 20% of that support. Now that starts out minimum of $1,000 and it goes up. I think a couple of our missionaries today, we're at $1,200 and $1,300 a month. That's a sizable investment. Then we added to that 5%. If a spouse was associated with Hillsdale in the past and they are wanting to go to the field, but we're not the sending church, then we would give, I said five, we would give 10% of their support. Now, the Fitzgeralds, we started out at 10%, but many of us remember Lorraine growing up as a teenager. And so she pulled that soft heart preacher kind of thing on us. And she pushed hers up to 15%. And so we're heavily invested in Peru as well. And then we decided to come with 5%. Typically, 5% is going to be about $200 a month, $250 a month. And so we have been growing that area of our ministry over these last years to be heavily invested in it. And another thing, to be honest with you, and I'm speaking on behalf of the missions committee, when you're giving someone 10% or even 5% of their salary, when the pastor calls from the church, they listen to what you have to say. When you're paying them $50 a month in support, you know, $50 here, $50 there. But when you're $200 and $250, that's some pretty serious. Would you agree, Jeff? That's some serious money there. And so, okay, I'm interested in what the preacher at Hillsdale was saying and what the missions committee says. Let me press on. Three things on the list here. In the 2000 decade, 2001 to 2010, we saw three missionary units that were part of our church family go out. Dennis Rogers, I think it was 2001, Dennis and Mel. In 2002, James and Amy Greenwood. And then in 2006, Buddy and Lorraine Fitzgerald. Now, I'm in the decade now of 2010 or 2011 to 2020. And I'm praying, Lord, give us three more couples. Three more that will aspire to I surrender all and going to the mission field. And I'm praying that God will do that. Now, on your outline, I know this is a lot of business, but it is what it is this morning. I want to give you three main points, or four principles actually, four principles about missions. And something that I hope that you'll leave here today and you'll ponder it in preparation for missions conference. The first point is this. It's the message. What is the message of missions? You know, times have changed and the world has changed, but you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed. The preaching of the church and the preaching of the missionaries is still Jesus Christ crucified for our sins, buried and raised again, and raised to life and coming again. It's still the message of missions. It's the message of the church. Here's a verse for you. In fact, it's up there. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, there are missions agencies today that are heavily invested in aid, you know, emergency aid. And those are great things, taking food and taking water. But that is not the call of missions for the church. The call of missions for the church is to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the message that needs to be heard in the Middle East. That's the message that needs to be heard in South America. That's the message that needs to be heard in Africa. That's the message that needs to be heard in Western Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Asia. It is that Christ was crucified for our sins. And so we want to look for and we want to invest in those that will go forth and be the preachers of the gospel. Number two, not only is there the message, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but number two, there is the method. How does the church accomplish its mission? And the answer is this. It is through sending and being sent. In other words, a heart of a church ought to be able to send out missionaries and also for those missionaries to be sent. Take your Bible. Now, I think it's on the outline, but I'm not sure. But for the sake of the exercise, don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. Back up. Go to Matthew 28 for a moment. Go to Matthew 28. Now, I cheat. I have things written in my notes. But as you go there and you look at the Scriptures, and I had hoped to preach this, by the way, leading up to the conference, with my kidney stones and missing 3 weeks, and I'm totally off the schedule, and so it's a little bit of anxiety that we didn't work through the cross and come to this point. But that's where we are today. Would you notice in that passage in front of you that there are four specific commands for the church? What is the message? It is to preach Christ crucified. What is the method? Notice the four commands. And Keith, you could go now to that one. It is to go. Literally, to depart, to go on a journey. Go ye therefore and teach, literally to make disciples, all nations, baptizing, bringing them to a point where they identify with Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then notice in the next verse, the next command, teaching them. Not only are we to seek to win the lost to Christ, where they become believers and disciples of Christ, but then we are to go through literally what is an instruction in doctrine. When you go and visit missionaries and mission fields, they are often dealing with the fundamentals, the basics. But that's where they need to be. And that's why we, even in our church membership class, and Pastor Barber teaching that class, we go back and we want to deal with the fundamentals. We want to make sure people know exactly what the Bible teaches. And so those are the four commands. But then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you have what I'm calling the four points on the compass this morning. And Keith, you can go to that one if you would. Four points on the compass. In the Lord's day, Jerusalem was the center of Jewish religious life. For us, it's Tampa Bay, Hillsborough County, Pasco County, Pinellas County. That is our Jerusalem. And then Judea, some would say, well, Judea could be Florida, or I'm going to say in this sense, the United States. It is our larger sphere of opportunity and ministry. But then in addition to that is Samaria. Our Samaria might could be Canada, it might could be viewed as Mexico, but then the uttermost part of the earth, all the tribes, all the nations, every continent, those are the four points on the compass of missions. We're going to go in a few moments and we're going to work our way through those that are part of our missionary family. Let me give you a verse. In fact, it's here. Thank you, Keith. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 20, and they went forth and they preached everywhere. You know, one of the things I've tried to do over the years is make sure as we bring on missionaries, that we're investing in areas of the world that perhaps we've never invested before to make sure that we're doing our part in carrying out the Great Commission. Now, I want to take a few moments here and go to number three, the messenger. Who is the messenger that goes forth? And it is the missionary. Where does the missionary come from? He comes from within our churches. Who calls the missionary? Not the preacher, not the church. It is God's Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned to you before, I've been praying for the next generation at Hillsdale. Because I know that we are to be men of prayer, men and women of prayer, regarding this matter of the Great Commission. But at the same time, what we do not need are young people who are called by their dads or their moms or their preachers to go to the mission field. I had several years ago, I mean many, 20 years ago, someone that was a part of our church family and had been in ministry, but was just so unhappy about being in ministry. And I remember sitting down with this individual and learning just how unhappy he was. And I said, then why are you in ministry? And he says, you know, to be honest with you, because that's what my dad wanted me to do. Well, I said, well, no wonder you're so miserable in ministry. You're not God called, you're daddy called. And so we want young people and adults that God's Holy Spirit has reached into our church and called them out. And then I think a letter B on your outline. The church bears the responsibility to send missionaries God calls. Now let me say this to you, just to be transparent. Over the years, and I've been here 31 years now, over the years, I've had people that said, I want to go to the mission field. One of the things that we started requiring was an internship. You show us in 6 months to a year's time that you've got a heart for serving. And over the last 20 years, there have been a few that either weren't willing to do that internship or, number two, after the internship, I sat down with them and said, listen, I love you, but I do not see The deacons do not see the passion for missions that we want to invest in. You know, we don't need missionaries that are lazy. We don't need missionaries that want to go on an extended four-year vacation. We need missionaries that are working here. One of the things I love about the Scriptures is that God calls out to serve Him those who are already serving. I don't think this is on the PowerPoint. Take your Bible. Look with me at Acts chapter 13, if you would, just for a moment. Is it up there? Oh, there it is. You don't need to turn. In fact, I'm going to look at a verse earlier than that one, though. Acts 13, and this is that wonderful passage of Scripture in which Saul and Barnabas are called. Acts 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." What I love about that verse is that Barnabas and Saul were serving. You know, the ones that God calls to serve Him in full-time ministry are the ones who are already serving here. Years ago, I had someone long gone, and I caught him one day sneaking up the back steps of our building down here. Now, they were being paid. They weren't staff, but they were being paid as an internship. And I found out, why are you sneaking up the back stairs of this building? And he says, "Well, I was afraid somebody would see me and tell me to do something." Now, I almost did a Trump thing. You're fired, almost. And later I did. Because that's not who you want to invest in. You want to invest in people who are serving. Amen? Let me introduce you to Hillsdale's Missions family. Now let's go through these slides. We're going to glide through them, if you would. Serving in Africa, Jim and Hope Smith, Brent and Selena Bergay. They should be going to Africa this year. They are really appointees still, but we have been supporting them. And then Dave and Julie Rudolph. The next slide, serving in Asia, Matt and Courtney Jones, ministering in Thailand, doing a great work. They've already turned one ministry over to a national. They've gone somewhere else. They've started another ministry there. Gary and Edie Jones, the reasons you might know them, they're from our era, really. Gary has given his life serving in the Philippines, not only planting churches, starting a school, has a seminary going there, and finally has a camp as well. Jason and, go back. Jason and Leah Carpenter, Cambodia, young couple. We took them on, I think, about 3 years ago. Let me tell you, they are doing a great work in Cambodia. She had a health scare. They had to fly her out on an emergency flight to Australia. She was able to have the surgery that she needed. They turned right back around, went right back into Cambodia and of their ministry. And then G.S. and Sarah Nair, you might remember them. Great work in India. Not only pastor in a church, starting a college, has a Bible school. In addition to that, there are many that have gone out of his ministry preaching throughout India, doing a great work there. The next one. These are all missionaries you're supporting. Joe and Noni Nita, they are Japanese, serving on the island there. In fact, when they had that nuclear, tragedy up in northern Japan, they were not too far from there, and they have been a part of ministering to many of those people. Tom and Kim Melton. Tim grew up in Japan on the mission field. It was a missionary kid. Came home to the States, went off to school, never had any intention, as far as he knew, of going back to Japan until he finished, got his degree, and was pursuing a career. And then God moved on his heart. No. You need to go back to Japan. And so they have done a great work there. Serving in Lebanon, this family amazes me. Do you remember them? Persecuted. They built a church in Lebanon, and the Muslims actually piled up tons of debris in front of their building, so they could not even use their church building. He is a pastor. He is also has an online ministry in Lebanon throughout the Middle East. He is a teacher of preachers. And so in some of the countries that are closed, Fanny actually has an online seminary ministry preparing men for ministry in countries in which they could lose their lives for the gospel. Serving in Europe, and I'm going to take you through this quickly. Go to the first slide there if you would. Amanda Baker, missionary appointee, she's right at 80%. She is hoping by early 2017 she will be in England. She was with us last year, I think. Serving in Spain, the Gutierrez. Been there for years, doing a good work, planting the church there. What's the next one? Vienna, the Hudsons were with us not too long ago. Talk about in the heart of the refugee crisis. You might remember they not only are pastoring an international church, they've been reaching out to the Muslim refugees that are moving into that area there and having a ministry with them. The Knickerbockers in France, she is French. They have been pastoring a church, teaching in a seminary, and also now a camp. They had a camp further in the south. They have moved from that, purchased another camp further in the north of France. Romania, Dan and Lynn Sahested, been there pretty much ever since I've been at Hillsdale, have done a great work again, pastoring a church, seminary training, college, Bible college, a very busy life. Poland, the Petersons, another great work, again, preaching, teaching, Bible college, travels to Russia, travels to some of the other satellite nations around there, teaching Bible courses to preachers. Just met with TJ and Karina Renee. We took them on last year. And going to Belarus, I think they're nearly 60%. We took them on when they were much less than that. They are planning on, by I think it is April or May, going to Belarus to stay for a while, even though they do not have the full support. You might remember they actually have buildings and a camp that their family, his family, had purchased waiting for them to arrive there. The American continent, I'll rush through these as well. The reasons, need no introduction, you'll be able to fellowship with them. Forest Glen camp up there, planted many churches. Gary and Barbara Fournay, they are in those latter years, 75 or so I would guess. But still, a lot of church plants that have come out of their mission there. Beth Jessup, you might remember Earl. Earl just passed away probably within the last 2 months of cancer. I'm not sure what her next step in life's going to be, but for right now, she's working with the church planting mission that they started back in, I think, the mid-90s. Serving in the United States, let's go through this. Dennis and Melanie Rogers, and we're praying with Dennis and Mel about the next step in their life, the direction that God would have them to go. And they will be with us the last Sunday of this month, and so we'll be able to fellowship with them. The Bunyans out with the Blackfeet Indians in Montana. Next one. I put these up there because they still are truly heart-serving people. We were the sending church for Glenn Foster and the sending church for Fern Cruz. We have a policy at Hillsdale. As they retire, if there's still a need of financial support, and we verify that, we maintain a 50% support level for them. So as Fern retired, we went to 50% with her. Glenn Foster is still filling pulpits. Most recently was in Alabama in a church that was struggling. And before that was in Puerto Rico, where he filled in a church for a missionary that came home from the field. The Kennedys, I spent some time with Dave. He is the director of Baptist World. He's the one that is different, but kind of a selfish thing on my part, because I want to see our young people go ultimately with Baptist World. What better way to do that than to have the director who's part of our support? And so we're supporting him. He'll be with us in the springtime. Scott and Kathy Murphy, again, Hillsdale supported them, I think, even before I came. They go way back working with the Apache Indians. Any others? There you go. Haiti, Dr. McGowan, we're the sending church for Brinson McGowan. He was here at Hillsdale, in the old location, in the 70s, and went out from under Pastor Bradshaw. 1979, I think they've been in Bangladesh, they were in Africa, and they've spent most of their ministry in Haiti. Imagine this, and Luana, they were in 75, about 75 years old? Okay. 75 years old. They had semi-retired and came home to the States. He actually was a surgeon up in the panhandle, going back and forth every once in a while to Haiti. When the big earthquake occurred and basically a tsunami environment happened in Haiti several years ago, Brinson and Carol, he resigned his position with the church, with the hospital up in the panhandle. They took one of the first flights out, flew back into Haiti, and he has been there more than not ever since then. Mid-70s, still going, still serving. And Ann Livingston will be with us next week. Mexico, the Bixbys, wonderful couple, church planting, teaching in the college there, teaching seminary, preparing Mexican people, nationals, for the work of the ministry. Now let's go through this. Hope I haven't worn you out. These are all the people you're supporting. Raymond and Anita Bradley, missionaries, deaf ministry in Ecuador, not only in churches but teaching others to do the same. Jungles of Peru, our buddy, and Lorraine Fitzgerald. She was a teenager here. A third one. Let's move on. Paraguay, Clint and Rita Vernoy. We've supported them all the way back into Pastor Bradshaw's era. In Argentina, James and Amy Greenwood. They need no introduction. In Brazil, Jonathan and Jenny Reiner, they were with us about a year ago. Went there as a young couple, right out of Clearwater Christian College, and faithful. The Reiners family goes back in Brazil for generations. Their families have served in Brazil. Just a fascinating family. Dave and Kim Huffman, also serving in Brazil. He's a pastor's son, and we've been a part of his ministry right from the beginning as well. The Vergils, we go back about 20 years with the Vergils, church planting in Brazil. And then Bob and Naomi Nichols, that's Dick Nichols' brother. And if the picture was better, he looks just like Dick. It's amazing. Dick was on staff here for many years, and they have literally raised their family. When they went to the mission field out from under Hillsdale, Pastor Bradshaw was here, and the kids were all little kids. They are now down to one. All the others are grown up. Two of the sons actually are pastoring churches in Brazil today. It's an amazing family story. Let's move on. Here we go. Let me give you the last one. The answer to the question, well, how do we do this? And I'm going to run out of time, and it grieves my heart, but let me finish with it. We do it through faith promise giving. The missions given at Hillsdale is not tied to our tithes and offerings. It's over and above that. The missions given at Hillsdale, 100% of it, will eventually be invested in missions. Unlike some people that have foundations, that maybe 10% ever gets to where the needs are. When you give to a church like Hillsdale and our missions budget, you do so understanding that everything that you're giving will go to missions. It may go to helping people get to the mission field, go to the support of the missionaries. It may go to construction materials. But everything, the church doesn't take a dime of what you give to missions. In fact, when we were as a church family trying to get this building built and our legal fees cost $700,000, it would have been so easy to take from Paul. You know, it really, Paul being missions. But you know, we never did. If you sat in our deacons' meeting, you would know when you give, it is a dedicated gift. It's not anything that we take upon ourselves to use in any other area. And so when you give to missions, if you give to Haiti or you give for our missionaries, you're giving in such a way knowing it's going to the field. That's where it's dedicated to. That's where it goes. And we want to have that kind of integrity. Let me walk you through this a little bit. And I know my time is almost gone. The church is to financially support missionaries God has called. Romans 10 and verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? I shared with you the story of the young couple that had been traveling for 5 years. And I think the right decision was made. But the reality is, unless churches are supporting missionaries, they cannot go to the mission field. If they've got a heart, they've got a passion, they've got a fire. The reality is, many mission fields of the world, you can't go to that country and get a job. You know, sometimes we would think, well, you know, why don't they get partial support and just go to the field and get a job? Because some countries forbid foreigners from being employed. You can't get a job there. And so you go dependent upon the financial gifts of others. Let me give you another. The Paul's ability to take the gospel beyond Corinth was dependent upon an increase in the faith giving of the Corinthian believers. It's a wonderful passage, and I believe I have the verse there. Look at this passage with me. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, but having hope or having confidence, when you, your church, your faith as a church, when it is increased, Paul writes that we, the missionaries, shall be enlarged according to you, or by you, according to our rule, our assignment abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. Why do we give to missions? It's so that whatever we preach here, that gospel might be taken beyond us. Paul's writing back to the Corinthian church, and he says, as you give, and your faith to give increases, understand it allows us to be enlarged in our vision. I read mission letters. Back on the back wall, there are mission letters. I read every one of those letters as they come in. You know why? Because that's where we're investing. I want to know what's going on in our missionary portfolio. Are they doing the job? We will be sending out, I don't think we have yet, but questionnaires to all of our missionaries. And I will ask in those questionnaires, what are you doing? How much time do you spend? What have been the results of what you're doing? And then we'll even begin using a new tool. We'll look them up on Facebook. It's one thing what they tell me over here. It may be something quite different that they tell me over here. And needless to say, if they're not the same, the days are numbered, you know. We let them know. We can't support you. You don't share our heart. Let me fill it in quickly, and I'm almost done here in the time that I have. What is faith promise missions giving? Let me give you the definition. It is a plan whereby individual believers help advance the cause of missions in their local church, giving by faith on a systematic basis an amount God lays on their heart over and above the regular tithes and offerings. So somebody says, well, preacher, I can't afford to give, or I can't afford to give any more than I'm already giving. Now, I am somewhat of a coffee aficionado, and I go to Starbucks. And the one thing I've seen at Starbucks that has increased year after year is what? The cost. Now, I like Dunkin' Donuts a little bit better, but I like to have the change. But you know, the reality is this. You and I, we spend so much money on stuff that we forget. Most of us have made room in our budget for cell phones. $100, $120, $140, $150 a month. 20 years ago, how many of you had cell phones? Not many. Where did that money come from? You know what it comes from? We figure it out and make it work in our budget. You know what? We make time and money for what's important. Don't we? We really do. Let me take you a little bit further in this, and I'll fill in the outline, and I won't have time to preach it, unfortunately. What is faith promise given? I'll give you 3 points. The first thing is, it's scriptural. And I wish I had time to review it. It's scriptural. It is 7 things about why it's scriptural. One, it's called a grace. What is grace? Grace is an act of love. It is an act of giving. It is universal. It's something for all believers. We're not just interested in what the adults can give. I hope our young people will have a heart for missions, especially if you go on a mission trip. You guys better be putting your money where your mouth is. You want to go on the trip? You ought to be investing in missions. Amen? Number 3, it's supernatural. It involves faith. It is setting a goal and a desire and a passion and even a sacrifice of, Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from, but I'm going to trust you to enable me to give. It's important. And I read the verse to you earlier, bound in everything. It's voluntary. After I'm done here today, I won't be able to put you on a guilt trip, coerce you. And another thing, I don't know who gives to missions and who doesn't. I don't have a clue. I only know what Sheila and I give. I don't know what my staff gives. I don't know what the deacons give. I don't know. It's none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. It's rewarding. It's my joy over the years to see how God has blessed because of our faithfulness. Number 7, and it's private. You have a faith promise card. I think they're in the bulletin. If they're not today, they will be next week. You say, well, why is that there? It's there for you to help us set a budget. We have to set a budget. Otherwise, we're going to operate in a way that really is not exercising good discretion. So we want to set a budget. Why is there a place for your name on there? I will never see that card. But it's the only way we can ensure the integrity of what is committed. For instance, let's say somebody decides to be smart, and they put on their card that they're going to be given $1,000 a month. Now, I'm shouting hallelujah, but I hope it's not a 12-year-old that says, I'm going to give $1,000 a month to missions, because that would be unrealistic. And so we've had over the years a couple of occasions where obviously an amount was designated that really there was no intent. And so that's why the name is there. I will never see the cards. The cards will be turned into Ruth Hill, I guess, will be handling them. And it's confidential, as it should be. Two more points, and then I'll have to close. Not only is it scriptural, number 2, it's spiritual. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we're to give as a man purposeth in his heart. And then thirdly, it's systematic. It's something that we set our hearts to do. Did I fill in all the blanks? I can't remember. Have I? Yeah. Okay. This is the one time a year that the Sunday morning crowd listens to a business meeting. But it's a good thing. We need to make sure that we're all having the same outlook, the philosophy. What does your church do? Why does it do it? I hope I've answered that question today. I close with this thought. The mission of the church is the Great Commission. We invest in our Jerusalem. We invest across America in our Judea. We invest in Samaria, Canada, Mexico, Latin America. And then we invest in the uttermost parts of the earth. I hope that you'll share our heart and our vision for mission. After all, the message has not changed. Let's stand and we'll be closed in prayer.